Content warning. The Adventures in Hellworld podcast talks in depth about QAnon, which means we have to talk about all kinds of child abuse and violence against people. Listener discretion advised.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mike Rains, a.k.a. Poker and Politics, and welcome to another episode of Adventures in Hellworld. This week, I am joined, as always, by Haley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch.
Hello, listeners. I am eating cheese right now. Piece cheese.
You're working on your night cheese? Excellent. Glad to hear it. Mm-hmm. And the mysterious L.
Gross.
My beautiful babies! That's right. I'm sure some people really hated that, and that's great.
I did.
Mostly, I was thrown off of my groove by Mike Rains making a 30 Rock reference. That's not something that Mike Rains does. Mike Rains has never seen 30 Rock. It's one of the two shows he refuses to watch, despite how hard I pester him.
I saw the clip.
The infamous clip that I think that clip cost them like an extra $250,000 or whatever because they had to pay for the rights to the melody to Night Train or whatever.
That I don't know, but I just saw the clip of Tina Fey in her Snuggie talking about working on her night cheese, and once Haley brought the cheese, I was like, boom, I'm here for that.
And then Haley immediately got offended by my raspberry, so it's been like a roller coaster of a recording session for Haley already.
Well, we just lost half our listeners, I would imagine.
Oh no, we're down to 10 listeners.
There's three left.
We love you, dear listeners, and I'm sorry for sneaking up on that raspberry, but I can only do so many accents, and I don't have it in me to learn any more languages of how to say hello or. You know, you got to keep guys on your toes. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe some people were like weirdly into it. Maybe some people are all bricked up and they're just like, nice. They finally got to the stuff I'm interested in.
There's at least one.
Absolutely.
Although, let's be
absolutely.
Right. That person who's using Pike Up is like, oh, they're finally doing what I've been waiting for. It's so delightful.
We cater to the ASMR people. We're going to cater to the foot people, and now, you know.
Dude, and like, I've made it pretty clear. Every part of me is for pay for the right price.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. You know, like, anybody who wants any piece of this sweet ass belly, you know, you want me to make a mouth sound for you? You want me to give you a foot pick? Dude, just make a proposal.
Yep. Hit up L on Blue Sky. It's basically L's version of OnlyFans, only without having to do the whole subscription thing. It's just pay to play, straight pay to play. So yeah,
I'm just an open book. I had a lunch date with my mother this afternoon, and among the various topics we discussed was my diminishing libido and my various experiences with acid. So. Mm. My relationship with my mother is still pretty cool. So that's pretty nice. She's just like, acid's a young person's drug. What are you doing, acid? You're an old man now. No, it's just like, hey, I'm still with it. If I wanted to, I still could, which I never would because it is illegal. But if I wanted to, I could, which I don't because it is legal.
Oh, man. I had a magical experience this week. Because I went to Ye Olde Supermarket to obtain groceries, and as I walked in the door, I hear this woman very loudly shout, "I already told you no," which usually that means a kid is being petulant about wanting something in the supermarket, and their parent is just like putting their foot down and being like, "No, we're not doing that."
Mike, this... I love the naive and wholesome rose-tinted reality you live in, where that was where your head went.
Yeah.
We're just like, normally if I hear a woman loudly screaming, "I already told you no," I'm sure that she's talking to a little child. I was immediately just like, did Mike have to fucking fight a creep off of some baby at the supermarket?
Well, that actually is what happened, because the creep in question was right in front of me, and he had just like that glassy-eyed look that people who just are like worrisome, you look at a person, you're like, oh god, this ain't great. And the guy had that glassy-eyed stare to him, and he was wearing a MAGA hat, and he looked right at me, and he said, "Hey, like the hat?" And I was just, like, frozen, trying to figure out what planet am I living on right now. And I kind of mumbled, like, no. And then I saw that he had a clipboard with a piece of paper on it on top of a shopping cart. And then he said, I have a candidate running against Elizabeth Warren. And the moment he said that, I just like turned hard and walked right into the supermarket. It was like, hard pass, just boom, getting the goddamn hell away from this MAGA chud weirdo who wants me to sign a petition to get somebody on the ballot to lose to Elizabeth Warren by 1 million points. So yeah, it was great. It was just absolutely great. I'm glad that he was like harassing people to the point where that woman was just literally yelling at him to fuck off. It was magical.
Also,
was truly...
in the supermarket, I would be like, get the fuck out of here. Get the
yeah,
fuck
I was about to say,
here.
Mike, you forgot. I mean, I know it's been a while since like we've been out in public and had to like in your region of the world especially, like had to deal with the red hat people. But remember, dude, like the five simple syllables. Eat shit. You fash fuck. That's it. Hey man, yeah. Like the hat? Eat shit, you fash fuck. That conversation will either escalate in a fun way or it will be over. Those are your options.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Get out of there.
Also, that more accurately portrays you, your online persona. Like well, I guess what I'm saying is stop being such a cuck in real life, Mike Rance. If that were Twitter, you would have remembered the five syllables. They've got 14. We've got five. Eat shit, you fash fuck.
Was yeah. he there with the Girl Scouts? Was he competing alongside the Girl Scouts? Was there other competition around?
Nope, it was just him, his shopping cart, his clipboard, and that was the end of him. And I wasn't in the supermarket very long, and he was gone by the time I checked out. Because I was like, oh god, I'm getting ready for round two of this prick on my way out. Much like that woman, obviously was very upset about her impending round two with that guy. So I was just like, oh man, this is going to be fucking great having to do this again. But as soon as I saw the sliding doors that were going to get me, because he had it perfectly set up where he was in the one spot where you could enter and exit the building. So you're basically forced into engaging with him. And thankfully, as I was getting ready to leave, he wasn't there. And I was like, oh, good. Now I don't have to deal with this idiot again. So that was wonderful.
He probably got tired of all the liberal shrinking in his presence. Like he was fucking presenting garlic to a vampire. He's like, hey, man. And you're like... You just like recoil, like retreat into the Aldi or whatever grocery store you were going into. Like, ah, yeah. See, I'm not gonna lie. Earlier in the week, when this happened to you and you told me the story, I was hoping that he was going to be wearing those stupid sneakers. Like the initial setup seemed like it was gonna be leading to like I saw that he had the red hat, and then I saw that he had gold sneakers, and I was gonna be like fucking righteous, or that he was getting into a Cybertruck or something like that, but.
Oh,
it just ended
did
up
you
being
see
like,
the Schreiber truck that crashed into the Beverly Hills Hotel?
I did. It's the Beverly Hills Hotel sign, right? Or at least right
yeah.
next to it. Yeah, yeah.
The
so
sign.
Like, yeah, classic.
I thought
iconic.
That was funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If only the person inside of it died. I mean, sorry. I'm glad you didn't die. I was reading my notes wrong. I was getting ahead of myself.
They were rushing home to bid on Bitcoin or something. I don't know.
L, the term is unalived. We don't want to get demonetized.
Yeah, well, we have to get monetized and get demonetized, so we'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, just like, oh my god.
We're gonna get canceled, Elle.
Oh, all
nobody's
things.
Gonna listen to us.
It'll be about time. I'm just like, like, oh my god. That as soon as somebody with any amount of liberal authority comes up to me, it's just like, you've been officially canceled. I'll just be like, oh, what a burden. what a burden lifted off my shoulders, you know? Now I could finally just be like, all right, fine, yeah. Like, dude, I do have some opinions that you guys aren't going to like that I just don't say out loud. So, like, now I've already canceled him. The sky's the limit. Here we go. Shane Gillis is kind of funny. I mean, I don't know. Like, and then people would be like, boo, you're such a bad liberal, boo. I'm sorry.
Mike, say a cancelable opinion right now.
Yeah, Mike, say something racist. Go. The old Sarge
no,
throw.
I just said cancelable opinion.
No!
Top 10 slurs for African Americans. Go.
Mike's
and starting at number 5.
Oh, man. The horrifying thing about that is that all that, like, when you said, like, that phrase to me, all I could think of was my grandmother and just how she just had just such unbelievable, like, bone deep racism in her and just all the things she would say. And it'd just be like, Grandma, we can't let you out of the house. Oh God. It was just like that. It was just like,
in a roundabout way, it reminds me. So like TikTok hit me. I wish to God I'd say it. I'd committed the name to memory. I really liked the bit. I thought it was like a pretty funny little bit. A stand-up comedian was just like talking about the difference between Trump and Biden. And he's like, it would be as if you went to a party. It got introduced to, like, this guy that as soon as he gets drunk, he says whatever crazy fucking thing is on his mind, and he's already hammered. Or the guy that smokes too much weed, it just sort of stands in the corner and doesn't know where the fuck he is, and he's already super high. And then you get to the party, and somebody, like, holds up your car keys and says, surprise, one of these two is driving you home. And it's just like, okay, that's like a pretty funny way to describe that, like, in a stand-up routine.
That is a good way.
It's like a pretty tight little package, and it's, like, relatable. So
which,
like,
would
that
you pick?
High guy, 100%. I mean, like, fucking, I mean, look, look, it's a funny joke, but that's always been a no-brainer. Like, it's pretty obvious when somebody is too smoked out to operate a vehicle at all, and that means that they're asleep. So,
yeah,
not that I'm advocating it either way, but I mean, gun to my head, you give me that choice, I'm going high guy every time.
Oh, I was literally about to say that, because, like, high guy is just going to fall asleep and you're going to take a nap with him. And then when high guy wakes up, he will drive you home.
Or he'll be, like, crazy paranoid and you'll be going, like, 15 miles an hour and that's why you get pulled over.
Yeah.
Cop's just like, do you know how fast you were going? And it was like, oh, shit, 70, 80? And it was like, no, dude, 20. And this is like, speed limit 55 doesn't mean, like, at your leisure, you know? Like, you gotta, like, let us see your license.
Yeah. Right. Whereas the other guys...
Don't drive under the impairment of anything, boys and girls. Yeah. But yeah. Again, mm-hmm. Like, you know, hypothetical, gun-to-head scenario, high guy over drunk guy every time. For everything. Like,
yes.
When is it ever... When have you ever just been like, wow, I really wish this person was drunk instead of high? Very, very minimal times.
Oh, for me, never. Literally never. Because my life is literally nothing but interacting with drunks. And I've never been in a situation where, like, thank God this person's drunk. This is making this interaction so much better.
I certainly been on the opposite side of that. I have run into people that I'm just like, wow, thank God I am drunk for this. but that's my own cross to bear. Anyway, let's get into our amuse-bouche.
It's time for a light sampling of insanity. Get ready for the amuse-bouche.
Jews! Canceled. Me getting hailed out of here goes, oh. No! They've got space lasers, apparently, and I guess Sleepy Joe Biden confirmed it.
Yes.
Isn't it crazy how just, like, how heavy that word is, like, without the proper context around it? If you just say that word out of context, dude, it sounds icky. You're like, oh, God, like, put some context around that one, you know?
Yes.
Ish. Ish. Use the ish. It really softens it. Anyway, Jewish space lasers, they're back in Biden form. Oh,
yeah.
What's going on with this, Mike?
So there were wildfires in Texas raging for the past while, and the president decided to make a trip on down to Texas to talk about those fires and the relief efforts to help out the American citizens harmed by them. And in one of his speeches, Biden talked about how it's crazy because you'll see a bunch of buildings destroyed and annihilated as a result of the fire. But then you'll see, like, one building, and I believe the phrase Biden used was, quote, with the right roof, and that building will remain standing and just, like, lucks out and wins the fire lottery, and it's unharmed. And
my God, just like Hawaii, I remember. Mm-hmm. The last time they used the lasers on the poor Hawaiians.
Yes. And this led to everyone in QAnon freaking out because Biden was admitting that if you have a blue roof on your home, the laser can't harm it. And therefore, as a result, the direct energy weapons that are being used on Americans can
be
defeated.
It's not so much that the laser doesn't harm it. It's so much as that is an indicator that the laser is supposed to pass that house over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Passover. It's yes. Like putting lamb's blood yeah. on your roof.
Right,
but it's a blue roof,
yep.
And it detracts lasers.
Yeah.
Yes,
you see, Mike, because historically in the faith of the Jewish people, there's a thing called Passover, and during which they, in order to make sure there was a lamb blood, it was a whole thing. We'll get into it later.
We're gonna get deep into Bible study later in the pod. It's gonna be awesome.
We are in Eastertide.
That'd be great. I thought it was still Christmas.
No, Christmas season ended. Okay,
yeah,
we are now
December
25th.
Bazinga. Anyway, that's never going to die. We'll be talking about it in June, because that's when Christmas is actually supposed to be. Perfect time. Anyway,
yes.
Jewish space lasers, that we're talking about now.
Yeah, and then...
If we want it to be Christmas all season, we can arrange that, because there's saints every day.
Oh, right? Absolutely. That Catholicism's great that way, because like the whole point of the religion was only worship Jesus and God, and then the Catholics were like, what if we just create 75 million other heroes and worship them too? And then God was just like, I don't exist, so I don't care. And the Catholics were like, sweet, score.
And then God was like, what a cool interpretation of that commandment.
Yeah.
Interesting that you're doing this, but I guess you do you, slay queen.
Listeners, if you type in literally any date, go to that Wikipedia page, scroll all the way to the bottom, it'll say holidays and observances, and it'll tell you which saints that we feast for that day. It's, yep. Every day's got feasts for saints.
Yep. Absolutely. That was Catholics totally nailed that commandment. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
Way to go.
They were just like, God doesn't want us to worship anybody but him. Well, how about we worship his cronies? Like, literally every day with a feast. Just like, no, I don't think that's it. Anyway, sorry, who am I to judge, you know?
Yeah, so on top of all this, a BBC reporter asked Marjorie Taylor Greene about the Jewish space lasers, and Marjorie Taylor Greene told her to fuck off because she was super angry about being... was super angry about being reminded about her dumb comment. So that was great that someone was just throwing her stupidity in her face. And
she was so posh about it too.
Yes.
The British, the BBC. Yes.
I think Marjorie Taylor Greene for a moment. She was just like, hey, no. Well, fuck off.
Yeah. The
fuck
BBC
off,
love
you.
Man.
And then just like, cut out of there.
She's like, so how did she look about spreading baseless conspiracies? Huh? And Marjorie Taylor Greene's like, how about you fuck off? And she's like, thank you very much. She like...
Well, I mean, if you're going to play the British gimmick, you got to go the whole way with it. You absolutely can't. You can't break character at that point when Marjorie Taylor Greene tells you to fuck off.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Unfortunately, no amount of concealer can conceal the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene sucks. It's not going to stop her from trying, though. Yeah. That makeup is caked up every time I see her now. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's like Krusty the Clown sometimes. Bananas. She wants to be Trump so hard. She's like not taking like fashion advice from him. Get it. Anyway. Yeah. The Jewish space laser thing, just absolutely insane. Can't believe it's going to keep coming up. I mean, again, like, why haven't they just fired it off, baby? You would think that would be a pretty spicy way to end this Palestine quote-unquote conflict, eh? If the state of Israel just had access to a satellite laser that could destroy their enemies.
That's one of my favorite things about the whole deep state Illuminati conspiracy theory is that both the good guys and the bad guys have godlike powers, yet neither side ever just decides to initiate those godlike powers to achieve victory. It's always this thing where the hammer blow is about to fall any day now, but it never does. And the bad guys could literally order Biden to launch a nuclear strike and kill everybody right now, and they just never do. And the good guys have all the evidence they need to throw the deep state in prison and usher in 1,000 years of peace and prosperity, but they also never do. And it's just like, God, can't we just get to the payoff? Can't one side just win and we're all dead or we're all happy? Why do we have to just live in this interminable drudgery where we're just like...
Perpetual Cold War, because it's awesome. Because everybody loves the feeling of dread, because then you could be fighting against something when you're really doing nothing.
Yep. God, that is probably the most poignant clip Elle has ever made on this show.
Yeah, man, I'm high enough to start getting philosophical. Hell yeah. Do you suppose your wiener? No, that'd be great. Deep thoughts.
Yeah.
No. Instead of talking about my wiener, we have to talk about America's wiener, aka Donald Trump, who I have now determined is America's tiny mushroom penis, at least until we can finally tell him to fuck off forever. Or he dies, in which case, you know, the universe will have told him to fuck off forever. So we have an assortment of Bushy roundups for Trump. It's not, none of them individually are headline worthy, and all of them collectively aren't especially headline worthy, so we're just going to do them as several different Bush topics. Shut up. Okay. Number one, the Supreme Court has decided to bail out Trump by saying that he can, in fact, be on the ballot for president of the United States in a decision that should come as a surprise to fucking no one. If anybody thought the Supreme Court was going to be even remotely split on this in the face of no convictions of any kind, I mean, that was some weapons-grade hopium you were inhaling there, friends. Like, it's cool that Colorado took their shot, And it was a question that some people wanted answered. And if you had waited until there were some convictions for literally anything, maybe the answer would have been a little different. But, like, in the light of no convictions, it turns out that in a overwhelming defeat for the forces of good, the Supreme Court was like, actually, he can't be on the ballot.
Yeah, the Supreme Court basically just said that if you want to pull a candidate from a national race, you would have to pull the national Congress would have to do that and not a state Congress, because if that were to happen, then states could start doing weird willy-nilly shit, because there were already other states threatening to pull Biden from the ballot for fuck you reasons, basically. And I mean, Lord knows the Supreme Court's logic on all this. I really not going to try to divine all that. But the gist of it was, is that states can't do this. It has to be a national thing when it comes to the presidency. So them's the breaks. And as Elle said, if you didn't see this coming, boy, howdy, are you not paying attention? Because, I mean, even the three liberal justices were like, no, there's no meat on this bone. So I just...
Yeah, you can't possibly touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know what I mean? It's just like, it would be absolutely insane. Without, like, yeah, I mean, at the very least, you would need stronger legal evidence that Donald Trump incited an insurrection, you know, and everybody with like a brain and eyes and a heart like can tell that that's what he did. But it roughly 50% of Americans are apparently still willing to just be like, nah, maybe he didn't, you know, maybe that's not how that went down. So fuck us.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah. There was some fucking clown. I was either MSNBC or NBC who was just like, Donald Trump allegedly attempted to overturn the 2020 election, and it's like I lived through that. There was no allegedly about it.
I remember that.
Yeah, that motherfucker was trying to overturn.
I lived.
Yeah. I was there. It was like,
yeah. We were all there. There was a reason he got banned from like Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like so ridiculous. So yeah, so that happened, and on top of that, the Supreme Court also decided that Trump's immunity hearing, they decided to hear the case of if Donald Trump can be the God Emperor or not, and they decided to kind of drag their feet about it, so the oral arguments for that will be in late April, and a ruling will probably come down in June, and this led to a lot of hand-wringing from a lot of people about if that means that the trial can happen before the election. And I saw a bunch of people being like, but there's a 90-day window, so no, it's over. And then a bunch of other people came rushing in and being like, the 90-day window is for starting an investigation. The investigation already happened. They absolutely can try him before the election, and the trial can go on through the election, and it's totally copacetic. So I'm seeing the doomer side saying it won't happen. I'm seeing the hopium side saying that it will happen. So... will the J6 trial happen? Yay, nay. We to be determined. Basically, the only trial that we know is going to happen for sure is the hush money election interference trial that's starting at the end of this month, which will be both a hoot and a holler. Because I don't know if they're allowing cameras in that one, because it's a state trial. So they might allow cameras in the courtroom for that, which would be awesome to just watch for a month or so of Donald Trump just seething at the defense table as people testify against him. So... I will be.
They won't. They'll be cowards, and they will still refuse to televise it because they're fucking cowards.
Oh, they can't block warriors. Fucking piece of shit,
dude. Everybody is spineless, and it sucks. Yeah, you guys should go to do journalism for our comedy podcast.
I'll do it. Yeah. I'll do it.
Well, yeah, but that's Haley, that's because you're a journalist outside of the podcast. You do.
I am so not. It's like wild how I am not.
You're like kind of like a fake journalist, though. You're like an online journalist. You show up to a place and write about stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all that counts, right?
At some point, Ben Goggins would consider me a journalist.
But doing that long enough, like eventually you gain enough experience to evolve like a Pokemon into a real journalist. I think that's how like people get their start, right? Not everybody's out there getting churned out through some school that gives you a paper that says journalism go. Anyway.
Thank you.
Numero dos, Trump item in the boosh. Trump dementia update is what I have here noted from Mike Rains. Mike, has the Reaper finally come for him? Has the problem been solved? Is he eating pudding blissfully, sundowning like in a corner of a home someplace?
Man, does it feel like we're getting ever closer every week? It is a magical event watching this man attempt to use the English language. In his speech on March 2nd, Trump once again declared that the president of the United States currently is Barack Obama, which was awesome. He declared that Vladimir Putin has no respect for Obama, and that is why he is threatening to use nuclear weapons. And the crowd just stared at him in cold silence. And then they started playing the sad QAnon music, which I just love that. It feels like the weird Avengers trying to get the Hulk to de-Hulkify. It's like, hey, big guy, sun's going down, when they play the QAnon music to end the rallies for Trump. It's like his self-soothing. He's like, I've been a good boy and my rally's almost over, so now I get the QAnon music. Ah. And during the QAnon music...
That was exactly his ah.
Yes!
That he did earlier this
week. Oh, God. Yeah, and that's the thing. So while he was slurring and gibbling his way through this speech, he then gets to this moment where he just says, and we as a nation have now learned that Saudi Arabia and Russia are... And like, it was just the most unsettling, weird moan. It's like he either shit or came or both. Just like, Lord knows if Biden or any Democrat had done something like that, it would have been 24/7 headline news until they got a psychic valuation or dropped out of the race. Like, that would have just been the end of them. But Donald Trump can just soil himself or orgasm on air. And our media is just like, that's just our boy Trump. You know how you do. Sometimes you just have the fleshlight working a little too hard while you're giving the speech. That's just how it goes. So, I mean, it was just like, holy shit. Like, this guy is in such rough shape. And it's wild to me that I just live in these like two worlds where people are just, on the one hand, freaking out because like, the polls are so bad. Biden's fucked. We're all going to die in a fascist dictatorship. And on the other side, Trump is just basically gripping onto the podium for dear life, trying to avoid the icy hand of the Reaper. And it's just like, is no one else watching this? Is anyone else not noticing that Trump's vice presidency is the most cherry position in the universe? Because if he were to win, you'd probably be president within the first month or two of his administration because he ain't going to make it. I mean, it's just like, holy smokes. Like, it is just wild that this guy is so banged up. And yet, like, our national media is like, is Joe Biden too old? It's like, I'm going to tell you, like, if you had to make a bet with me right now about who's going to make it longer. I'm taking Joe Biden over Donald Trump 10 out of 10 times. Like, Trump is in such worse shape compared to Biden. It is not even funny.
That'd be cool if they died the same day, holding hands. You know,
yeah, I was going to like hugging. like somehow we just find them like peacefully hugging, like fully dressed in their suits, like in a bed somewhere. They've just like peacefully passed, like in a tender embrace that, like, without the context of them being able to tell you, it's hard to tell if it was romantic or strictly platonic. But either way, they both seem pretty cool with it.
that would be so cool, though, if they both died at the same time. That would be really cool, actually. America would definitely take that well.
There would be no conspiracy theories about that at all. None. Literally none. Oh, man. Like, America wouldn't burn to the ground over how weird that would be. Like, what you have just said is the ultimate monkey paw, because if they actually do have a debate, that's going to happen now, where, like, somehow, some way, someone's going to get it into both their heads that for the good of the nation, for, like, civility, they should shake hands before the debate. And then they both get on stage, and, like, they obviously both viciously hate each other, but they begrudgingly shake hands, and as they shake hands, they both just fall to the ground, and it's over. And then America's just looking on like, what the fuck? What was that? What is going on here?
They shake hands and then there's like an earthquake and the ceiling collapses and they get trapped under it. Oh, that would
be so funny.
And then like, but there's like so much rubble that like, despite everyone's best efforts, because the president's under there, you know, like for whatever reason, they can't get to him. And then it's just too late. And by the time it reaches, it's just like for warmth and comfort, they're both just hugging.
Yeah. And like the audience in the audience is like made up of like Hillary Clinton and Huma and like Alex Soros and just like, because everyone in that room is gonna get baked no matter who they are. But it was just like,
well, the ones who don't get crushed
by rocks.
Obama's
in there, Michelle's in there,
sibling rocks.
You know,
That has to be the part of the conspiracy also, is that like all the conservatives in the audience get hit by rocks, whereas the liberals somehow avoided them.
Anderson Cooper is moderating.
Yeah,
I love how Mike just decided to roll with the fact that I said rocks, as if though that's what ceilings are made out of.
Hey, the ceiling of
whatever convention center they're in has just got, like, you know, they're just rocks up there. That's how they insulate it, you know? It's good
insulation.
The catering
was nothing but pizza and hot dogs for some reason.
Yes! Yeah, there's photos in the back right before the earthquake. There's like a photo in the catering room where of Trump eating a hot dog while Biden's eating pizza. And it's just like QAnon just actually literally spontaneously combusts. QAnon supporter just vibrates so fast they lose molecular cohesion and just become energy.
I think I would too.
That would bake you. Even you would be baked at that point.
I would just be so excited. I would just be so excited.
Okay. So that is our Trump topic number two. Trump, you know, his brain is turning into pudding because he's old and out of shape and terrible. Those are three things we can safely say about Donald Trump. The third thing in the boosh for Mr. former president and dirtbag Donald Trump is, I hope his knees are doing good because he has to bend them for old Elon Musk, because allegedly he has been courting Elon Musk for a little cash flow influx, if you get what I'm saying, because he's got some money issues, if you catch my drift.
Oh yeah,
which is to say he's got some money issues.
Yes, like the money is issues. Yeah, our boy Elon basically. So there was some scuttlebutt that Elon and Trump's planes landed near each other in Florida. And then a bunch of people were like, hey, don't be preaching conspiracy theories. Don't be talking like that. And then it came out, oh, yeah, Elon and Trump did meet up. And then there were talks about Trump's hitting up Elon for some money. And Elon posted on Twitter today, well, just a little while ago, that he is not donating to either presidential candidate. Which obviously means he's instead going to open Free Speech Ultimate Pack that he will then put $1 billion into to make sure that free speech reigns in our election season. So, yeah. So, Elon, let's see how neutral you are, because I don't think you're going to be very, very neutral at all in this election. I mean,
well,
literally.
So his tweet, as far as I know, his tweet just said he wasn't contributing to the political campaign for either candidate.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean he might not be helping Donald Trump break off $500 million to like pay his fucking current legal woes off. You know what I mean? And you just be like, oh, that was like a loan. I loaned that to him for his legal troubles. It has nothing to do with his political campaign, because Lord knows that when Donald Trump has money and he says he's going to do a thing with it, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
You know, like that guy's books are clean.
Oh,
And I'm sure he's never used any sort of political campaign money for anything else that's fucking dirty pool either. I'm sure that's all been completely above board as well. So
when I think of Donald Trump, I think of an above board businessman who's never cut a corner in his life. That's the straight shooter, Donald Trump. That's just the way it is.
If Donald Trump is a straight shooter, then I picture him looking like Bang Bang Bart. More than me to love, baby. Yeah, this is hilarious because obviously, like, can you imagine just like the smirk and boner that Elon had when he got when Trump's people called him up, who were just like, Mr. Trump, I'd love to have a meeting with you. Elon's just like, yeah, absolutely. And then hangs up the phone and it's just like, finally, now I am the one in charge. It's just like, okay, fucking goober.
Trump walks in the room and Elon just immediately does, look at me. I am the captain now.
Yeah.
Just like, yeah.
They picked me up in one of your trucks. Great trucks. I love the truck. I love that truck. And I said, oh, what a truck. It's an all-American truck, metal truck. This is an incredible truck.
Oh, God. I can't wait till Trump's the president doing ads for Cybertruck. And our media.
Exclusive on X, this truck. You can only get it on X. Yeah. I tried to get it on Truth. He said he couldn't do it on Truth. You have to go to X for this truck. Anyway, okay, so.
Maybe he'll drive around it because he thinks it's bulletproof and then.
And then it will just take control and throw itself into the White House with him in it.
Yeah. Maybe he'll drive around in it because he thinks it's bulletproof. And then, you know, it will explode of its own volition.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah, nobody shoots it. Just someone crashes into the Beverly Hills Hotel sign with it and it explodes.
It's like fucking, yeah. But getting one of those things is just like getting inside that fucking guy's murder mansion in Chicago. It's like, who knows how it's going to kill you? Okay. Haley has to motor like before the typical end of our recording session. So let's quickly away to the third part of our boosh, the Haley part of our boosh, the Arizona part of the boosh, where Haley will get us up to speed on the current doings in her home state of Arizona, which we all know is a flaming crater of conservative lunacy. So, Haley, what's going on in the fine state of Arizona this week?
It's being normal and it rocks. So, well, I'll give a big Carrie Lake update next week because there's a lot of Carrie Lake stuff that we'll talk about, but that's why I'm ignoring it right now. Listeners, I know that there's a lot of Carrie Lake stuff. I know. I see your messages. We'll get to it next week. We'll do a big Carrie Lake roundup. For now.
Wait, do you really get messages?
Man. I do.
Dude, the Arizona interest is high. Like, nobody ever messages me about shit, so I'm glad that people...
Well, you've got off social media. I'm glad that people love you. Who's going to message you on there? You can't message.
Oh, you're good. You're still getting messaged by fucking people on the Nazi platform, formerly known as Twitter? Get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then never mind. My jealousy of you has been rescinded and is now replaced with smug satisfaction that I don't use Twitter anymore. My nose turned up.
That is sometimes I tag you in the stuff we get added in because people are very invested in our Christmas-tide conversation.
Not after my 30-second long raspberry to start the show. Those people
no,
are all
they left.
Those people are all dead and gone. Anyway, back to Arizona.
Okay, so Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer, he's the Republican recorder who gets a lot of threats because he is, even though he's a Republican, he is not a Carrie Lake Republican. Obviously, he ran the elections in Maricopa County, so a lot of conspiracies are centered around him because there's a lot of election conspiracies in Arizona. Yeah, so Stephen Richer, he's the center of a lot of threats. He, there was recently actually... Just this last week, a man in San Diego prosecuted for sending him death threats. And that was the third prosecution in relation to death threats related to Stephen Richer. So he gets the brunt of it. And he is currently being challenged by a Republican who's a state representative. He's one of those Freedom Caucus guys, like local ones. His name is Justin Heap. This guy sucks. He's a freshman legislator, so he's new. But he's probably somebody that we're going to have to get used to hearing about because, you know, Turning Point USA Representative Jake Hoffman, like, tapped this guy to challenge Richer. And a lot of the far right, like, legislators here are already backing him. So he's going to, you know, he'll be on Bannon in no point. It's going to be a thing. So, like, his press conference where he announced his run against Richer, like, Anthony Curran was there. He stormed the Capitol. He's a lawmaker here. Wendy Rogers, she's a white supremacist state senator. State Senator Sonny Borelli, he was at the QAnon conference in Vegas. The Turning Point lawmakers were there, Jake Hoffman and Austin Smith. So yeah, it was just like a smorgasbord of the worst lawmakers that we have here who are like backing this guy. I've personally seen this guy at a Moms for Liberty event when they announced they were coming to Maricopa County. And he told a story about how his son, had a history teacher who talked about that war crimes were committed in Vietnam, the Vietnam War, and also Agent Orange was used. And he was, like, holding up the phone with the teacher's photo and, like, he wasn't telling people to reach out, but it was obviously, like, look at this teacher, look at this liberal piece of shit. talking about history in a way that makes me upset, you know? So he's not a great guy. And he recently actually put forward a bill that has kind of made the news a little bit, like national news, where it would expand the Castle Doctrine, the Stand Your Ground law, which allows property owners to use deadly force against people trespassing inside their home. This would expand it so, like, farmers and ranchers and people with large swaths of land can kill people who are just crossing on their land. Even if it's not, like, a direct threat, you know, it's like, you're on my land, I have the right to kill you. And this kind of stems from a case that's going on right now in Arizona. There was a 75-year-old rancher that lives on the border, the Arizona-Mexico border, named George Allen Kelly. And he, last year, killed a migrant that was passing over his land, like his property, from like, it was like 100 yards away from him, and he pop shotted him with a AK-47. And obviously that he got arrested for murder. He's going to go to trial for that, but he's kind of become like this like local hero amongst the like so-called patriot groups.
Yeah, he's old man Rittenhouse, because it's what they all wish they could do.
Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a little movement around him, like he doesn't deserve that. He's just a little old man with a little old wife protecting them from, you know, Mexicans.
Yeah, he's just a small bean. What harm could he do?
Yeah, he's a little small bean.
Besides commit murder.
So yeah, the bill was kind of like in reference to that, you know, like in support of him a little bit, like, oh, he didn't do anything wrong, so we should actually be allowed to do that. But there's so many other instances where I can see that, like, being awful, like, unhoused people, you know, people looking in for an excuse just to kill unsheltered people. Like, there's just so many awful things. Like, it'll never pass because Hobbs will veto it, but that's just this guy who's challenging Richer, so I feel like it's important to highlight. And then in more positive news, Kyrsten Sinema is no longer, she's not going to seek re-election.
Yes, so now she will not ballot, she won't vote split between her and Gallego, so now it's just Gallego versus Lake one-on-one, which is far better for everybody involved, except Carrie Lake, because she sucks.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Lake still has a challenger, Sheriff Mark Lamb, who does suck, but he won't.
Mark Lamb, who's got two nickels to rub together if he's lucky. I just love that, like, the Arizona segment is oftentimes Mark Lamb's crippling campaign poverty.
It is. He's just like, please, I'm suffering. I have nobody donating to me. Will you please do me a favor? His, like, emails are so weird. He's like, please do me a favor and spare me 2 dimes.
You Dude, know? He needs to pull himself up by his bootstraps.
Yes.
He does. But anyways, how do you feel about Sinema getting the fuck out of the
thrilled.
Senate?
Absolutely thrilled. I just do not understand what she was doing. It is the weirdest thing, because she absolutely could have just been, she could have been Tester. She could have been any of these other boring conservative Dems where you just go against the party on a few things to make yourself look good for the red staters. But she just had this weird brand of being a nut alongside Joe Manchin. I truly do not understand why she wanted to be one of the two people to block to keep the filibuster for voting rights. I mean, Joe Manchin's just Joe Manchin. Fuck that guy. I mean, he's just whatever he is. He's going to lose his seat this year. Democrats will never sniff West Virginia again for the next 2 centuries. But Arizona's blueing up. It's purple now. It's there was no reason to be like, I stand with a guy from a crazy red state. I too hate voting rights when compared to the filibuster, the greatest thing in American politics, the ability to block legislation because you're a piece of shit. And it's just, I just don't understand what her governing principles were. She was just an odd duck. That's the best way I can describe it.
And it was not popular here amongst the Dems whatsoever. The only people who liked it were McCain Republicans. That's the only people disappointed by anything, is the people that were like still hoping that there was some hope in the Republican Party, that it wasn't a completely fascist, like, goofy piece of shit party, but it is, and they can't get over that. So they're like, cinema, please save the entire, you know, save all of Congress. Her video too, when her video announcing it was a little bit snobby. She was kind of like, it was kind of like, you guys didn't do enough to support me. Fuck you. I was right. You were wrong, and you're gonna regret it. You know, I kind of had that attitude.
Way to bitter cake your way out of office, cinema. You're the best.
It was like,
I just love that Trump is just doing Lake 2.0, because Carrie Lake, was when she was running for governor, was like, if you're a McCain Republican, you can fuck right off and get out the room. And like last night after winning Super Tuesday, Trump was like, if you're a Mitt Romney Republican, fuck off, buddy. MAGA all day, every day. And it's just like, you're supposed to try to win more voters, not tell voters to fuck themselves. Like, I don't think people understand how elections work. You need your number to be higher than the other guy's number, or else you lose. Like, this isn't tricky, but apparently it is. Make my vote total smaller, please.
Yeah, there was, she tweeted about Nikki Haley dropping out. And there's been this kind of thing in the media where she keeps giving these interviews to, like, actual mainstream media, where she's like, I'm not as extreme as people point me out to be. I'm actually more moderate, because she's trying to finally play that base a little bit. And then she tweets out shit like, Nimrata Haley has dropped out. Like, she's, you know.
She can't help herself. Cannot help herself. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Your weekly, daily...
That's the Arizona...
I was just, thank God you cut me off. I was about to say weekly, daily dose. my brain just could not separate the word daily and dose so much as my love of alliteration. There's your weekly dose of Arizona news from Haley, who will join us for some amount of the headline news segment, but then we'll abruptly leave.
I should just bounce, right? It's like,
however you want to do it, don't worry.
I didn't want to rush you away.
I don't want to interrupt anybody when it's time for me to go, and then
just Irish goodbye us. We don't care. It's okay.
What does that mean?
Just leaving without notice.
That's why we're saying goodbye to the audience now for you. So yes. When you need to leave, you can, and the audience will be none the wiser.
Yeah. We'll have big Carrie Lake updates next week, everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So on that note, let's get to our cues in the news.
From the digital headlines to the digital front lines, it's Cues in the News.
Love when this happens. I don't know what the fuck this is about. Massachusetts Nazi conviction or whatever. I don't know what's going on with these notes, Mike. What's going on with my Massachusetts Nazis?
So Lori Kaufman was running for a role in the Republican Party in Massachusetts, and Lori is, let's just say, an unrepentant lunatic Nazi who posted a tweet that reads, "Don't forget, I'll likely get voted into office on March 5th. Long-term goals are to ban same-sex marriage, should never have been legalized, and trans will be illegal. Yes, illegal." And then after that paragraph, she did a space, made a new line, and typed in, "I will also exile all Jews. Hashtag Lori 24. So
she lost, right?
State committee woman, first Suffolk district, represented Republican rep vote one. She got 37% of the vote and lost pretty badly to Elizabeth Hines Frederick. So, yeah, Massachusetts did not, in fact, elect the woman who was going to make trans illegal and exile all the Jews.
My notes had this all wrong. I thought that this was an election, which is insane, because Massachusetts doesn't exactly seem like the sort of place where a Nazi would have any shot, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that Massachusetts is, like, surprisingly racist, but not, like, elect a Nazi racist, right?
No, well, for Arizona?
Yeah.
You know, that's Arizona's business.
Yeah, this was a very tiny race. The person who won in a landslide by getting 2,100 votes. So this was a very small little district thing that this...
Mike, you're only going to empower them by making fun of their race.
Actually, this was the second flare-up of Nazism in America, because a guy, I believe his name is Scott Likely. I do know, I'm pretty sure his last name is Likely. But that guy primaried our very popular Republican governor, Charlie Baker, last time Baker ran for office. And that guy's big claim to fame was that he wrote a book called The Pink Swastika, claiming that the reason why the Nazis were so horribly evil is because they were all gay, and that's what made them do the Nazism. And Charlie Baker crushed that guy 75% to 25% in the primary. But still, the fact that a quarter of all Republicans in Massachusetts were like, you know, the guy that wrote weird Hitler apologetics but said that Hitler was only bad because he was gay? That's my guy. I want him to be my next governor of Massachusetts. So that was not a great moment in Massachusetts history. So boo on you, Massachusetts Republican Party. Police yourselves a little better in the future, por favor.
Yeah, and I guess I should just say for the record that I don't think that the Nazis were all gay, personally. That seems like a crazy idea to me.
That is not the stance of Hellworld.
No.
No. I wasn't speaking for Hellworld. I was just like, it seems sort of like self-evident that...
No, I'm probably speaking for Hellworld.
Probably the normal percentage of Nazis were gay that should have been. Maybe in like a weird aberration, slightly higher or lower. I mean, it would be suspected to be lower, certainly in the reporting. Probably zero.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the Nazis were straight as an arrow. Absolutely. Because guess what happened if you weren't? You were murdered because the Nazis hated gay people. So it's...
But if you want to know more, don't read that idiot's book, because it sounds terrible, even if it does sound like a likely story.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't shake that one. It was in my head for a while. Okay, well, and congratulations for Massachusetts for somehow avoiding electing a Nazi, despite the fact that you still can't stop your sports fans from yelling slurs at sports players. Like, just stop that, too.
Yes, like,
let's keep this forward progress train rolling. We got the Nazi problem licked. Good work. Now it's time to work on not being racist in other ways.
We can do it, Boston. I believe in you.
Yeah, we've always believed in you, Boston. Okay, moving on. Q's in the news headline number two takes us to North Carolina for their new hotness, which is a note so vague I shouldn't have even written it. I don't know what's going on in North Carolina either, because it just hasn't floated across my fucking field of view. So what's going on, Mike?
Oh, you're going to find out about North Carolina real soon, because boy, howdy.
Are they taking their shirts off, raising them over their heads, spinning them like a helicopter?
They are. Oh, are they doing so? Because the lieutenant governor of North Carolina is Mark Robinson, who is absolutely insane, and he won the Republican primary for governor. And so we have gotten our new version of Kerry Lake, only it's a black man in North Carolina, and he is totally gone. This is a man who has basically declared David Hogg to be a crisis actor, who was like,
oh,
fake.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, if you haven't heard about this yet, Haley, boy, howdy, you're going to find out all about this guy real quick. He's talked about the Reptiloids. He's gone there. Yep. He's all the way in on all this stuff. He is aggressively homophobic and has declared that gay people are quote unquote filth. He unshockingly has posted memes declaring Michelle Obama to be a man. He's done all the cool things. I wouldn't say that he's like all the way on QAnon, but he's definitely in favor of their stuff. I've seen articles. I have yet to find the actual deleted tweet from anybody, but I think it was a Facebook post where they were talking about people's identifying letters like M or F, and he posted like, me and my wife's identifying letters are WWG1, WGA. So he's done all that.
Did you see one of the System of a Down guys, just where we go one, we go all posted?
Oh, so the system of the gang guys are horribly pilled, so that doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
It's the drummer, I think, or something.
Yeah. Did you guys remember that weird time that like the Wu-Tang Clan gave them the N-word pass so they could make that cover of that song?
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they should have revoked that. But
I feel like that should have been pre-revoked. But
yes.
I remember at the time being like, "Ooh, so edgy." But like now, in hindsight, it's just like, "Why, God?"
I have a post from Mark Robinson up on my Twitter because basically everyone's mining through his social media now for all the craziness, and he says, "I am seriously skeptical of everything I see on television, from the murder of JFK to 9/11 to Las Vegas." And then after that, in all caps, he says, "Everything." So I get 9/11 and JFK are kind of like cool things for people to like not believe in. But it's pretty wild to say, "Oh, yeah, the Las Vegas mass shooting, totally, totally faked. That was a false flag all day, every day." So yeah, our boy Mark. We're gonna.
Does he not believe the narrative about why it went down or how it went down, or does he just disavow that it happened? Because I feel like there's enough evidence to be pretty sure that it happened. Like lots of recordings, like video and audio, and lots of people with like injuries and people who were killed. So like it definitely happened. So like I'm gonna need me to clarify like. You know, what exactly is it like? I don't believe. It's just like, yeah, but how do you not believe it? You know, like what flavor of crazy is your snow cone, man?
Right.
Like, I'm skeptical of JFK. And it's just like, okay, but like, what's your theory on that then? Like, are you like a grassy old guy? Are you like a sewer grate guy? Or do you have something even more bizarre that you think? Like, you know, it's super easy for anybody to just be like, CIA did it. And it's just like, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, what do you got for me? You know, that like anybody can say, like, that's so boring. Like, that's boring and nothing. And like, yeah, even if it's true, I mean, that was like 70 years ago. And like, that was back when being a spy meant a thing. So like, I sort of assumed that like the CIA was doing like dirt like that. You know, I'm not gonna lie. The media has properly desensitized me to that sort of shit. I feel like we've talked about this before. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would just like to know exactly what sort of crazy, like, yes, we know he's QAnon crazy. We know that he's homophobic, you know, all that stuff. But like when you're skeptical, man, like how skeptical? Like, how about the shape of the earth? Like,
yeah, let's go there, buddy. Come on, let's go. Yeah. And as you were saying, like, I don't know if I've told this story. I've probably told this story a long time ago on the pod, but I was on the phone with someone across the street from the Mandalay Bay when the shooting was happening. I knew the shooting was happening in real time. I could hear the gun firing. So that was...
And your friend was like, "Dude, this false flag is happening."
Yeah.
I think it's Antifa.
Yeah, if only... Actually, the two of us were like, "Wait, is there a jackhammer going on? What is that?" Like, that was our actual reaction. And then, like, 10 minutes later, we found out, oh, wait, there's someone just killing tons of people.
Yeah, what's that sound? I'm running late for my crisis actor meeting.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I would love... There's going to be a lot more dirt coming out of the sky. And all I can say is that Trump barely won North Carolina last go around. So please, by all means, Republicans, nominate people who are nothing but giant albatrosses to hang around the necks of the guy running for the presidency. I mean, you're running a person even more toxic and shitty than Donald Trump for governor. That is, man, that takes work. But
I feel like at some point we lost an important narrative vis-a-vis our Republican brothers and sisters and others, which is we need to remind them that the system is rigged and that they shouldn't be voting anyway. You know, like, why are you voting?
Yes.
Like, it seemed like that worked out pretty well for everybody last time. Dude, the system is rigged. Joe Biden is going to win regardless. Cabal, he's got lasers. We talked about it earlier. Just stay home. Yep. Like, why bother, you know?
Yep. Don't prop up a corrupt system. By abstaining, you show the corruption and you turn your back on the whole system the Illuminati is trying to put in place. Just let, like, don't take part in it. Don't take part in that farce. Don't give legitimacy to the Illuminati's false elections. That's the best course of action for you guys.
Yeah. And the problem is that Dominion used their cabal powers to silence Fox. So, and Fox was really helping to get the word out there about how rigged the voting was. So to their credit, I mean, Dominion has succeeded in preventing Fox from saying that the elections were rigged. But not us, damn it.
Oh,
they were rigged, so don't try. Tony Podcast.
Yeah, there was a great thing. It was like Newsmax or one of the other companies that's facing a $1 trillion lawsuit from Dominion. They had like an interview with Trump or something, and Trump was just going off about how it was fucking stolen. And then like literally they had an editorial like moment at the end where they were like, the editorial stance of Newsmax was their verdict of the 2020 election was fair and final. Just like, please do not hit us for another $100 billion, por favor. Please don't crush us any harder, Dominion.
We need to figure out a way to spook them that doesn't get us sued or arrested. We need to just be like, hey, Republicans, the trans has gotten, no, that would be out of pocket. We'll just say the progressivism, just general progressivism. Like, because that'll spook them just fine. Or socialism. Ooh, socialism is great because I hate that word. I was trying to think of something that would spook them that isn't going to, like, punch down at anybody. Socialism is a great one. Socialism. Just like, hey, Republicans, socialism, transmissible just by being around liberals. So don't go to the polls. Boo the polls. Boo. Like, they're transmitting socialism, like, through their brainwaves. That would be great. Yeah, there we go. That's the angle. Like,
yes.
Nobody's getting punched down. We're not naming any companies. It's clearly nonsense, so we can't get arrested for it. Perfect.
Crime. We have the Tucker Carlson defense. Only a moron would believe us. There's no way anyone could take us legitimately. So boom.
We have the Alex Jones defense, where it's just like we're playing characters, idiot. Because it's just like we're not playing characters. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Exactly. I don't give a fuck about any of this in my real life. Everything I say is me playing a character. I could give a fuck less about most of this shit. I'm just like, yeah, big liberal is cool, big progressive is obvious, but unfortunately, progress is slow. And progressives, my fellow progressives, don't want to hear that. They like, I'm more practical in my methodology. So, but aside from that being my ideals, like, I don't really do a lot, you know?
Yep.
I have a tiny platform where I like to espouse positive beliefs in the form of this fucking, you know, political adjacent humor. Like, that's as far as it goes.
Yeah. I feel all of that, sir. I feel all of that.
Anyway, good to see that North Carolina is fucking insane. And and I'll just say it. The fact that this guy is black is crazy. Like, dude, like, what did they offer you? Like, so, like, cause, I mean, we found out what they're offering Clarence Thomas. And it's like, you know, pretty much like, you know, for vacations for life whenever he wants one, which is fair enough. Like, yeah. I just want to know, like, how did they get to you, man? Like, what do they have something on you? Or did they just make you an offer you couldn't refuse because it was just like a dump truck of money? Like, how do you end up being so fucking in love with people that just can't wait to get their fucking boot on the back of your neck, you know? Like, I just can't, I can't fathom it. It's crazy. No.
The best part was, is like fucking some reporter was just like, here's all the crazy shit this guy believes in. And immediately there was just a wall of blue check marks who were like, why are you so racist? Why are you so mad when a black person leaves the Democrat plantation? Racist. And it's like, this isn't racism. The guy is just a conspiracy nut who will believe anything. This has nothing to do with the fact that he's black. It has to do with the fact that he believes in unreality and is like borderline insane.
And if somebody wanted to confront me and say, hey, it's kind of out of pocket for you to think the way that you think about it to me, I'd be like, that's probably a fair point because it is a racially based opinion. But I think it's pretty fucking interesting at the very least to see somebody of color like batting for the team that, like, I mean, through their policy, it is completely fucking obvious. Wants nothing, like, they would be perfectly happy if America was all white. So I don't understand how you could want to play for that team. I don't know. Like, it just seems like the other team is more openly friendly to America continuing to be a melting pot of people from various different creeds, like racially and far beyond. You know what I mean? Like, they're right. trying to expand that umbrella, and the other side is trying to close that umbrella. So
yeah, it's just so funny. What you're saying is like so funny to me. Whenever I hear Ben Shapiro pissing and moaning about Democrats, it's like, Ben, your side is the side that like sponsors Nick Fuentes, who chases you around hurling every anti-Semitic slur he can think of. And if your side wins, like at the end of the day, you're not going to be the one that's in power. It's going to be the neo-Nazis and the Nick Fuentes's of the world. And that's going to end up being real rough for you. So, I mean, what you said is what I've always thought is like, how can these Jewish people support a political faction that is literally catering to people that seek the extermination of Jews? It just makes no sense to me. It's just wild that you think, oh, because I'm popular and making a lot of money, that will protect me should my side ever win and achieve its goals. It's just like, I don't think it will.
I feel like there's just sort of like it's like a huge step up from just working in what seems like against your self-interest to working what seems like against your self-preservation.
Yes.
Like, unless you're just so short-sighted that you can't see the way that those dominoes fall down the line, like, and you're just like, seems great now. Yeah, boo, gay marriage, we hate it. And then, you know, 10 years, you get fucking blindsided when people are just like, interracial marriage, are we still, like, that seemed crazy. The Bible didn't say anything about that. And it's just like, oh, God, no, they're coming for me now. Yeah, yeah. It's so dumb. But, you know, there before the grace of someone's God go I. Let's move on from North Carolina to Vermont. Where apparently we have some doings. You know, this is one of the fun parts of an election year is that in our segments like this, we just get to bounce around the country to talk about states that I don't know shit about because it's, you know, it's fucking Vermont. Like, what comes out of Vermont besides syrup? I don't know. We're about to find out. Apparently truthers.
Yeah, so Nikki Haley's big win was Vermont. She prevailed over Donald Trump in the Vermont Republican primary, and this led a lot of QAnon people to get very upset and declare that Vermont is the trial run for how they're going to steal the 2024 election from Trump, and that Haley's win was quote-unquote based on an algorithm, and that they're just testing this thing out, and they're seeing how things were going, and I think I didn't see all the way through on it, but the gist of it was that at one point they said that 99% of the vote was in, and then later on they said that 95% of the vote was in, and that was proof that the algorithm was trying to generate more votes to get Haley over the top and achieve victory over Trump. When in reality, what probably happened and what happens in these situations all the time is they projected that they were almost done counting ballots. And then they were like, oh, wait, no, we have a lot more than we thought we did. So instead of actually having 99% of all the ballots in, we only had 95%. And now we're going to count the rest of those ballots. So there was a lot of people very angry about the fact that Haley was able to pull off any wins on Super Tuesday. So that was very exciting. And,
you know, I'm not going to lie. Can I just be honest? Because I feel like this is a safe space with the listeners. Like, sometimes a joke infests your mind, despite the fact that it's like unfortunate, you know, in a way. And in this case, it's going to be slightly misogynistic. But when you string those words together, I couldn't help but think we have 99% of the votes added. The bitches won. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to you and God and everyone else, but I just couldn't. It hit my frontal lobe, and I was just like, this is going to itch me until I get it out. So it's unfortunate that Haley had to leave before I got canceled. But there it is, folks. And thank you so much for listening to my last Invention of Hell podcast.
That was their big gripe for the night, and then Haley dropped out this morning, and they're all very happy. The God King is ascendant. The plan is continuing to planify, as it always does. Every sign is a sign of a future victory.
Did he handle all of his victories except for that one place with grace intact? Actually, here's a legitimate question. Did he even bother to mention Nikki Haley in whatever ravings he did on Super Tuesday, or did he just ignore her and just talk about how Russia hates Obama.
That his Super Tuesday speech, I did not see a lot of it. The only thing I saw of note from his Super Tuesday victory speech was that Fox News called it a softly delivered speech. And people were talking about how Trump wasn't exactly full of pep and vigor when he got up there and said that he totally crushed it.
What time of night was it? I mean, my God, he's like, the man is 78. Like,
yeah, Grandpa Trump. Probably was a little past his bedtime. So yeah, he got up there, just said some words, and then went to bed because he's a tired old man.
Oh, speaking of our boy Trump and his diminished capacity for the head of the firecracker, he doesn't seem to be able to make up nicknames for anybody anymore. Did you see that he's just reappropriating Crooked? And it even caught himself doing it. Because, of course, he just says whatever dumb shit is coming to his mind. So when he was down at the wall, he was just like, Crooked Joe. And that's right, I'm calling Crooked Joe. I used to call her Crooked Hillary. Now I'm taking it from her, and I'm calling it. Now it's Crooked Joe. And like that was like, and he got himself doing it and then just like started talking about it. And it was just like, it's like, yeah, man. Like, like, what the fuck? Like, dude, like, what happened to your fastball? Like, you used to at least have insults for people. You're just like recycling your material. And it's just like, you know, fucking. I can't wait for whoever his next opponent is, like political or otherwise. You know, like if he's battling somebody for like a big contract for something, he's going to be like, Crooked Guy Fieri, we're going after the same job. And then they offered it to him over me. It was rigged.
Oh, when he goes to trial at the end of the month, he's going to be like, Crooked Alvin Bragg, New York's scummiest lawyer, trying to railroad me in a rigged and stolen trial. He's just gonna repeat all his words, the few words left in his vocabulary. He's just gonna repeat all of them. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, it's just sitting in like a fucking wheelchair with like a blanket over his lap, like staring out a window with like a polite orderly within 10 feet of him, just looking out the window, just being like, Crooked Pigeon, like, Crooked Pigeon. I don't know why that one is tickling me so much.
Oh, God. As soon as this podcast is over, I'm going to have to find one of those AI generators that's willing to actually make art of people you name and just be like Donald Trump in a wheelchair looking at a pigeon out a window.
We get hope that a human serves it up to us, but that's the problem, is that that would require somebody with talent doing a thing for no reason
yes.
other than just getting in on a joke.
Exactly.
And possibly some merchandise money if we ever open a merch store.
Yeah.
I can see Crooked Pigeon merch.
The Crooked Pigeon. That's our new podcast. Adventures in Hell World Over. The Crooked Pigeon podcast begins. It rises.
It's our new podcast or our new like fucking pub. It's our new English style pub. Welcome to the Crooked Pigeon.
Yep. You're gonna get the best fish and chips on the North Shore. Oh, let me tell you.
Do you suppose that Haley actually listens to these shows after we record them? She's gonna miss all of this. She's not gonna know how far off the rails it went. Next week we're gonna be referencing Crooked Pigeon. She's not gonna know what the fuck's going on.
She's gonna be like, Jesus Christ, I really was the steady hand on the wheel that kept those boys in check. Oh my God.
They're gonna be like, Crooked Haley, that's what we call it. We used to call the pigeon Crooked, but now the pigeon's irrelevant. We're saying it's Crooked Haley. Arizona Crooked Watch, that's what I'm calling it. Okay. Bad Trump, the impersonation over. Time for listener mailbag.
Our listeners got questions. We got answers. It's time for Q&A.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Boom, I have to go running to the mailbag because
did you not have the mailbag queued up?
I had the mailbag on my phone, but I had to like go tap through real quick. Cleodora Silvestri, the Hellworld Grand Inquisitor, says, as we all know, the X-Men's new show was denounced as woke. So if conservatives created their own X-Men, what would their powers be and what ideals would they fight for?
Well, I mean, I feel like the ideals that they would fight for is pretty obvious.
Yeah,
it would be like the classic X-Men team, and that they would all be white. Let's just start there. First of all, we're throwing it back to what the X-Men were, literally all white. Granted, them being mutants was a metaphor for a bunch of other stuff, but at the end of the day, all them people were Caucasian, and as were all their villains. I mean, Magneto showed up and he was like, "I'm white, but Jewish," and they were like, "That makes you the other." And then they like battled over nuclear weapons or whatever. So that was fun.
Yeah, I was like, people were screaming about woke Storm, even though like that's been Storm's character since Storm was created, which is like wild.
I feel like you would have like an edgy like a morph archetype, like comic relief character whose gimmick is he's like a stand up, but he's still doing like edgy comedy, and like and their power is like they can antagonize you with their edgy comedy, man, and like get under your skin and fucking like affect your brain waves, and maybe in the style of an anime physically cut you with their edgy humor.
I was thinking that their power was to make you triggered, and when you're triggered you like freak out and like lose your mind and you're out of control, and like that's the whole point. And then like
and then you would just have like the classic strong guy archetype, just like a big white brick, and his name is just Giga Chad, and he just shows up and that's just him, and everyone's just like, what's your deal? And he's like, well, my name's Giga Chad, motherfucker. And they're just like, oh, okay, well, yeah. I'm just gonna put my hand over my drink and Yeah. He's very muscular and athletic, and he's very strong, and he can like punch through walls and stuff, but his actual power is doing a little stuff to your drink when you're not looking. So watch out for Giga Chad. He's the worst.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, basically all of these characters end up being Homelander. I mean, that's just literally what they, this is their world where like Homelander is the good guy.
Here's a pitch for you. And they need a leader. They need a charismatic, older leader in a wheelchair. Cricket Pigeon.
Oh, God.
I couldn't even croak it out. I couldn't even croak it out because I started laughing. But that's him. This is Professor X.
Yes. Professor T, he writes itself. It's so easy. Oh my god!
He's even got a Mr. Glass vibe for the people that enjoy the fucking Unbreakable universe.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep. Oh god.
He probably has some sort of Ben Shapiro style weenus in there someplace, and it's just like, what's your power? And he's like, I have a very influential podcast. Man, it's like,
okay. Yeah, he's the Batman. He's just like, I'm rich, the rich bad guy. Yep.
Well, no, that would be like your Mike Lindell.
Yes.
You're the one guy whose power is allegedly influence, and the one guy whose power is allegedly wealth. And then, like, if they get called on that by one of their woke competitors, like the woke Mr. Senator says, just like, I'm here to audit your taxes. And they're just like, oh shit, fucking, I mean, dude, you gotta, like, lawyers, you gotta give us some time, you know? And that becomes their downfall.
Yeah. Heuristic Velociraptor asks, if QAnon has eras, what are they and which one are we in now? This era is literally the final battle. This is what Trump calls the 2024 campaign, and it's what QAnon calls it as well. Like, this is it. Like win or lose, we either defeat the deep state and crush crooked Joe Biden, or we lose and the deep state will reign for forever. Like, this, they've literally put all their eggs in this basket. I mean, when Trump loses, they're going to figure it out a way to try to get some of those eggs out of the basket. But like, this is how it always works for them, is everything is your all in. And the moment the other guy calls and turns over the nuts, you just reach into the pot and start grabbing chips until security like throws you out. So everything is the ultimate battle. Everything is the last stand. And then when it doesn't work out, you try to find out a way to justify how it wasn't, because they got to keep the game going in some way, shape, or form. But because the deadline is so far away, because the election is still like, I don't know, 6-7 months away from happening, they're able to continue to just like keep people happy and satiated and all that kind of stuff. But you know, in that last month when it's getting real close to the election and Trump's just drooling all over himself and yelling at the pigeon, it's real white knuckle time for QAnon. They're going to start looking for life rafts. They're going to start looking for ways to be like, look, guys, if the deep state steals this, it ain't over yet, because that's the way it works. And like right now, they're all talking a big game about Trump says it won't get stolen, so he's got to have an ace in the hole. He knows what's going on. But this happened in 2016 and it happened in 2020. Once we get close to the election and Trump starts feeling it in his gut that he ain't going to win it, he's going to piss and moan about how it's going to get stolen from him. He's just going to do it again. And that's going to be really not fun for QAnon, being like, oh shit, Trump thinks they might be able to steal it. Oh, we got to be vigilant. Ah, so yeah. So this is the final battle era. I'll try to come up with like the eras that we had previous to the final battle. But
it's QAnon. So that's easy. Right now we're in the final battle. Last era would have been the terminal confrontation. The one before would have been the brawl for it all. The era before that would have been the war to end all wars. Then it would have been the final fantasy. And then before that was QAnon just showed up. So, or yep. Q just showed up. It was like Q showed up and then 12 different eras worth of like different takes on this is it. It's finally happening. And then we're on the last one now, guys. This is finally it.
Exactly. And finally, Sub-Zero Shirt Art asks, if you're part of a deep state cabal, what should white hats have put in the envelope you got handed at the funeral of another fellow cabal to make you freak out after looking at it for no more than a second or two? This is a reference to the envelopes at George H.W. Bush's funeral that QAnon swears to God was some kind of threat against the deep state. For me, it would just be the sentence, we have the real Zapruder film or something to those effects, to be like, we got you cold. We know how you did 9/11, something like that. And there's only like the like Jeb Bush looks at the envelope and is like, God in Himmel. Oh, no, they know. Like, that would have been the proper way to scare the deep state, is to let them know that some deep truth that is about to be exposed. We know what you did to the Titanic. Something like that would be great.
So is the question, what would an envelope be if it was given to us in that situation?
Like, if you were a member of the deep state, what would make you shudder in fear at a quick glance is the question.
Oh, I don't know. Is my enemy smart enough to know that that's not the play? I'm pretty open about just being bribable. For me, it would just be, I would open it up and it would just be a blank check. And I'd just be like, oh, well, well then. And I would just discreetly tuck that into my jacket, and I would just be like, so sorry for your loss, but I, unfortunately, something's come up. I must see you later. Just like I could take off.
That'd be great, yeah.
Or it wouldn't even have to be a check. It could just be like, I would look at it, and it would just say a note that says, like, willing to bribe you. And I'd just be like, oh, sweet. Yes.
Thank God.
Yeah. They'd be like, we have you on camera. We have you on camera. It looks like you read this note and then pumped your fist. What does that mean? And it's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. That was a grief pump.
Yes.
That was me trying to work the grief out.
Yeah, I don't know what would personally make me shudder in fear. So I think I would just go down the same path of just some sort of like thing where I'd be like, dude, sell out. The deep state ain't worth it. I'd be like, oh, okay. I mean, actually, I think that what would be the perfect thing for me would be a supernatural event that would just like legitimize the concept of God. And like one fell swoop, like I look at the paper and suddenly the ink just starts moving and shifting in such a way that like I'm just like, yeah, that's supernatural. These people were right about everything. Spiritual warfare is real. The God and the devil exist. I'm leaving Team Satan and joining Team God at this point because now you guys are right. Like that would be one thing that would actually work on me.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, if we're getting like fucking if fantasy magic powers are involved, then yeah, there's all sorts of crazy stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But
that'd be great. You open the thing expecting a note, and instead like you time travel back to like medieval times, and you live like a full life, like 60 years there, Rick and Morty style. You have like a family and a bunch of kids. Like you do a bunch of stuff, and then at the end of it, you like slowly die of a heart attack, like in your like hut, and then you wake back up like in Congress or whatever. Like, you know, just all sweaty. And they're just like, yeah, that's right, motherfucker.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
Or they hand you a note and you grab it and you're expecting a note and then it starts talking to you and it's just like, magic is real. It's just like Harry Potter and you're accepted. I'm just like, oh, shit, fuck whatever this is. I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
Do I have to get trained at Turf Island? Yeah, sorry, those rules. It's like, fuck. Oh well, whatever. I still want magic powers.
I was on a dating site one time, and I didn't get very many dates on a fit, and I think it's because of chicanery like this. In one of the stupid sections where it's asking you info about yourself, one of it was just like, what's your idea of a perfect date night? And I was just like, I can't remember exactly how I worded it, but the gist was like, the two of us, like, having a relaxing evening, like, enjoying the stars in the park, when suddenly a meteorite falls next to us and I go to investigate it, and the radiation gives me superpowers. Because it's just like, I mean, that would be the perfect night, you know? Like, right. That would be great. Or at one point, like it was just like, what's your idea of the perfect date? And I was just like, over the course of hanging out, like, messing around, like, I find a scratch ticket on the ground, and it turns out it's worth $10 million, and now I'm a millionaire, yay! Yeah, I mean, I understand the prompt, it's just the prompt is so fucking boring that I'd much rather give you an answer that's, like, more, like, look, these more honest answers give you a more genuine insight into my personality.
Do you want me to tell you that I want to fall in love or have incredible sex? Screw that. I want to be rich or a superhero. Come on.
Also, becoming like the Superman, it probably isn't going to hurt my bedroom ability. Like my bedroom ability right now is like fairly human. Like I skill level notwithstanding, you know, like I will say that I have a very human sex life. Like, fucking irradiate me and give me some superpowers, and then like what could it do some superhuman shit. I mean, dude, like you have no idea what these powers made me do.
And that brings us to our final question as always. It's, what are you looking forward to?
You know, relaxing night under the stars in a park when a meteor lands next to us. No, actually, so I had a proper nerdy one for this week. I have been putting together a Magic the Gathering cube, which for people who don't play that game is a curated list of cards that like forms a set of cards with which you and up to typically 8 of your pals or 7 other pals can play Magic an unlimited amount of times with an unlimited amount of like variation or whatever. It's like a very economic way to play a bunch of Magic with people who don't necessarily want to be that into it. And that endeavor is almost completed, thanks to the power of my tax return. I'm waiting on, I think, one more package, and then I have to order one more package after that, and it will be Tito completo. So I'm very excited. It will be nice to have, like, a nerdy project that I started be done, and have it, like, in my hands, completed. Like, yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing more Balatro. I'm very much enjoyed the game so far, and I'm starting to get into the higher difficulty levels of the game, so it's very interesting. And I read recently that there's like a dumb controversy going on about the game because it's a poker deck building roguelike. So some people have been attacking the game for it being quote unquote gambling themed, which it's not. There's no wagering in the game whatsoever. If you just made the deck of cards like fantasy cards and made all the poker ranks just like different words, it would have no bearing on poker whatsoever. But some people like made up this claim, and suddenly I think for the Nintendo Switch, it went from E from everyone to like 18 plus like overnight. And now the developers are furious and they're fighting back on this allegation that they have a quote unquote adult themed game, which they don't. So that is wild. So screw all the people fighting, messing with these people. Balatro is an awesome game that has no adult themes and should be supported. So go to hell, you idiots who are trying to screw with the rating of the game.
Well, there we go. And what Haley is excited for will remain a mystery, although as listeners who have been with us for a while would know, she probably would have seemed like she was fucking astonished that she was being asked the question in the first place. That's that's one of Haley's greatest gimmicks. So that's going to do it for our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening and supporting us. If you would like to support us harder, but still for free, you can do so by giving us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. If you have money and you want to give it to us, we will take it. You can visit us at patreon.com/pokerpolitics, where you can donate however much you'd like to us. If you donate $5 or more per month, you get access to all of our bonus content, including the back catalog with stuff that we did with Sarge in the co-pilot seat, and the current stuff that Mike Rains has been doing with Haley regarding the JFK conspiracy theories and the Rob Reiner fucking podcast / show about all that stuff. That is the most recent series that's available to all of our Beautifuller babies in the crib for $5 or more per month. Thank you so much, Beautifuller babies. We appreciate you. If you have money and you want to do some good with it, there are a ton of good ways for you to do that. We trust your judgment, but if you need a suggestion, you can go to love146.org, an organization whose vision is the end of child trafficking and exploitation. That sounds like a pretty cool cause to us. Thanks, as always, for the use of our intro song before it got accidentally remixed by Mike Rands into what you heard today, for DJ Minimal Effort, who I'm not sure has ever listened to the show, but we like to shout him out anyway because the theme song was a cool gesture on their part. Our buddy Frosty, who does all of our voice artistry, can be found on Blue Sky now at FrostyVO. You can find me on Blue Sky technically at Mysterious L, although I don't post too much there and almost never about politics. You can find the show you're listening to, The Adventures in Hellworld, on Twitter, still at Hellworld with a Q instead of an O. You can find Haley on various social media at Arizona Right Watch. And you can find Mike Rains on various social media, of course, at Poker Politics. So, for another successful episode of the Adventures of Hellworld podcast, I have been one of your co-hosts, the Mysterious L, signing off for myself and for our now missing co-host, Haley, a.k.a. Arizona Right Watch. And, of course, our expert in all things QAnon crazy, Mr. Mike Rains. Good speed, Patriots!